foundation for this message here at this time. And I want to go back and rehearse just a little bit. Some of you may have come in and did not hear any that I had to say. When it comes to the marital relationship and the home and the family, God intended it to be great, marvelous, wonderful. Our failure to apply the divine teachings to that sacred and holy relationship causes us to find unhappiness. God intended, let me quickly review this, one man, one woman, one lifetime. Matthew 19:9, Matthew 5:32 says, there is only one reason for a divorce and a remarriage. And that is sexual immorality, sexual infidelity by one of the mates in that relationship. And I'm going to just cut through this. I said in the first session, I do not care one whit about being politically correct in society today. I want to be biblically correct. I want to do what God says. And we need to accept the scriptures for what they say. And we need to live by them. Now, we noticed here in our text earlier this morning, in the text just read, that God made them male and female. Are you listening to me? For this marital relationship, he made them male and female. He made Adam and he made Eve for that relationship. He didn't make Adam and Steve. Somebody said, oh, you're not being PC. Be careful there. Let me tell you, God intended, he made a helpmeet suitable for man. And it was a woman. It was a female. It was not another male. Now, if we're going to accept the Bible, which I fully embrace, it is the divine, infallibly inspired word of God. It is flawless. We're going to be judged by that book. God created, he wanted us to have families. Male, Adam. Female, Eve. And when we go outside of that, we are in violation to the divine word of God. God loves us. We just need to do what's right if we want to go to heaven when we die. And I don't say that to be arrogant or smart or harsh. Somebody said, oh, he's harsh. Somebody, this argument's made. Well, these people that are in that, they're human beings. Yes. Listen very carefully. I want to say this very lovingly. They're human beings in error with the will of God. God intends for a man to marry a woman, for a woman to marry a man, and then they're to have children, and they're to repopulate or replenish the earth. Now, one man, one woman, one lifetime. And God wants us to be happy in our marriages. And there's only one reason for a divorce and a remarriage. And there may be some people sitting here under the sound of my voice right now, and you may be in your second, third, or fourth marriage. I don't know how to say this other than to say I love you. And I just ask you to do this. If you are in another marriage from that original marriage, you better take a long look at where your situation. Go back and just simply do what God said do. And sometimes we have to repent and sometimes we have to make some adjustments. Now, with those things in mind, I want us to continue. I said to you earlier that one of the big major problems about the challenges facing the family that I've been asked to speak on, one of the major problems is communication or the lack of it. By the way, let me ask you a question. Is Google male or female? Is Google male or female? Somebody said, why, Brother DeMar? Why do you say that? Because it doesn't let you finish a sentence before making a suggestion. Now listen, I want us to have a little fun with this communication. The husband and the wife, God intended us to have happy homes. And sometimes our homes are miserable. Our homes need to be a haven of rest. And we need to have, in order to have happy homes, and I want to carry on with this. We laid the foundation, one man, one woman, one lifetime, no exceptions except sexual immorality, And then we've got to build our relationships. We've got to build our family life. We've got to have happy homes like God intended us to. And in order to do that, the major challenge that we face is effective communication. Now, not just communication. That's not enough. I put the word up there, effective communication. There's a difference in communication and effective communication. Communication is where two people produce a meaning that each shares with each other. Communications, words, bodily action, and facial expressions. For instance, let me show you. In other words, there are the words that come out, and then there are bodily expressions, their hand, wave of the hand, a shrug of the shoulder, the tone of the voice. And we need, for instance, let me do it like this. I can say to you, let me say to y'all right out here. I can say, I love you. And I can smile. I can say, I love you. Or I can say, I love you. I love you. Now that I said the same word, didn't I? I love you, same words. I communicated two different things entirely. And that's what happens in the home. Sometimes, and listen, we men, oh, we think we're communicators. And fellas, I hate to tell you this, but the male is usually the worst communicator in the family. Females communicate better than the male. One lady said, my husband rolled his eyes back in his head. And what that says when a mate rolls their eyes back in their head is, I have turned you off. I am not listening to you anymore. All you have said is stupid and dumb, and I have nothing else to say to you. Now, here's that look. This guy that's doing that, he's got his eyes all open. He doesn't have to say a word. You see, his expression and his rolled eyes back in his head really says it all. Now, about communication, we think we're good at it, but we don't even... Listen, there is the sending. If you look at this little illustration, there is the sender. Now, I'm going to send Quentin, I'm going to send a message to you. I send a message to you. You're the receiver. I'm the sender, you're the receiver. You receive the message. You interpret what I say. And whatever I communicated to you, you respond to that. You send the message. You become the sender, and I become the receiver. But what happens in this sending and receiving and sending, there's often a breakdown because of facial expressions and because of the way we present it. Even the tone of the voice. You have to guard against the facial expression that says, okay, stupid, speak on. And that often happens in a marital relationship. You needed to communicate, okay, darling, I'm listening. My sweet wife, isn't my wife, isn't she beautiful? Isn't she pretty? My sweet wife, sometimes I have to look at her and say, darling, I'm listening. Women want us to listen. You have to make sure that you're giving your efforts to do the thing that allows communication to occur. Okay, darling, I'm listening. The communication we really want is where we share meaning. Many times there's a breakdown in communication, we don't even share meaning. I mean by that where I say something and you get the meaning I meant by it. In other words, getting back to the illustration over here, that second illustration, that wasn't what I meant to say. I didn't mean to leave the impression, because that is the opposite of I love you. You've got to leave the impression that you really want them to have. Now look at these facial expressions. I won't go into all those, but every one of those communicates something. And sometimes a facial expression, you don't even have to say a word. In the context of what's going on, a facial expression sometimes can say it all. For instance, the wave of a hand. See, if I go like this, what I'm doing is I'm waving you off. The wave of the hand, a brow, Blake, a smile, All of these facial expressions are important. Women also communicate. They have these various expressions. They have the expression of joy and sadness, fear, disgust, anger. Now, what is this lady communicating? What is this woman communicating? We won't say, but just look at her smile on her face. Look at the thumbs up. You can imagine in your mind something that she is communicating is surely good. Now, this is a clod of dirt. You ever seen a clod of dirt? We used to have dirt clod battles. We'd go out when I was young. We'd throw clods of dirt at each other. Sometimes we'd pick up a rock and get it in there, but we'd throw dirt at each other. Well, when someone fails to communicate the meaning that they're supposed to communicate, we call them clods. The husband generally is a better clod than the woman, simply because they do not communicate well. We have to say that men basically are the worst of the communicators. A woman who does not communicate well, well, we'll call her a clodette. Now, the definition of a clod. A clod is a big hunk of dirt with a lot of rough edges. Now, this old boy, this husband, he may have a heart of gold, but he has a lot of rough edges. And sometimes in the marital relationship, it takes time to even off those rough edges. A clod, for instance, he just sits there and fails to communicate with his wife. Here's a clod. It's time, breakfast is served, the wife serves the breakfast. The wife sits down, she wants to talk to her husband. He gets out the newspaper, and his coffee's down behind the newspaper, and he pulls it up like this. His wife's around there. He doesn't say a word. He just reads the newspaper. She's so eager to talk to him. She wants to tell him about some things that need to be done, about the children, about the house, and about what's coming up. But he says nothing. Then he jumps up. He says, I'm late for work. I'm out of here. And he takes off to work. He fails to communicate. Listen, women are wired to where they need communication. And the marital relationship is designed to communicate. Many men think that they are communicators when they are not. Women and men simply do not think alike. And proper communication is a challenge between them. God made them male and female. And generally speaking, males do not think like females. And females do not think like males. Women and men simply do not think alike, and proper communication is indeed a challenge between them. A clod does not communicate. A clod is spoken of, if you speak to a clod harshly, he'll just break to pieces, or she'll just break to pieces if she's a clodette. A clod says, oh, you hurt yourself. Do you want me to call a doctor before I go for my golf game? A clod says, here's some money. Go buy yourself a present for your birthday. Of course, he says to his wife, of course you should not do the dishes on your birthday. Just pile them over in the sink and do them tomorrow. Hey, men, that's a real clod. Clodettes, they fail to understand that their husband is wired differently than they are. Now, women, I hate to say this, but your husband might not like to shop. There you go. I figured they'd come out at amen. And ladies, I hate to tell you this, but your husband might not like chick flicks. Your husband might not like these tear jerkers. You sit over on the couch. You know, he might think, oh, man, he'd rather be seeing a ball game. He'd rather be seeing a movie that's got action in it. So what I'm saying is male, female. We are wired differently. He isn't into tearjerkers. We need to understand that our marriages need to be great. And we need to put forth energy and effort to make them great. I mentioned earlier that marriages, great marriages, do not just happen. Many marital problems result because of blocked communication. Communication is a two-way street. Don't both the husband and the wife need to work not to be a clod or a Claudette? The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. That is not politically correct today in America. The woman says something like this: I'm just as good as he is. He's no better than I am. Why should I submit to him? But in every organization, there has to be an ultimate voice. Government, business, and in the home. God designed the home, and he placed man as the head of the house, the head of the family. Man is to have the final say, and woman is to submit. Now somebody says, I don't like that. Well, I can't help it. I can't help that. That's what God says. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church. Some husbands said, well, I don't know if I like that. We're supposed to cherish and nourish our wives. Basic needs in marriage, we need understanding. How many in here would you stand up today and say, hey, I don't need any understanding? There's something within all of us we need to be understood. We seek for understanding by others. The sharing of goals, the sharing of ideas. Couples should dream together about their futures. Come on now. You be honest. Be honest with me. How many of you couples here today sit down at times and dream about your future? Dream about your children. Dream about your grandchildren. Dream about this and that together. How many of us in this marriage, why did God cause this? A man, male and female? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, female, shall cleave unto his wife, that they might be one flesh, because God knew we needed approval. God knew that we needed someone to express appreciation to us. And men, you need to understand this. The woman needs a lot of that. She's wired that way. She wants to hear her husband say, I love you. You can't say that too much in the home. There are homes that are really, that word, I love you, is hardly ever used. Sad are the children that grow up in a home and they don't hear daddy say, oh, sweetheart, I love you. Son, I love you. I'm proud of you. Oh, that's great. I really approve what you've done. You see, that's what the family life is all about. We need approval. We need appreciation. Some of us clods need to say to our wife, honey, I really do appreciate you. You just bend over backwards, making our home what it ought to be. Listen, if you're not working to supply these things, approval, appreciation, and understanding, if you're not supplying these to your mate and into your marriage, you are indeed a clod or a Claudette. We need to build better communications in our homes. If our homes are to survive, we need to build a relationship with each other that is lasting and beautiful. Our homes should be havens of rest. Our homes should be filled with happiness. And many times it's just the opposite. Misery and heartache and sometimes meanness. Focus on the strengths of your mate. Focus on his strength. Listen, that husband of yours, he He makes a lot of mistakes. We all do. That wife of yours, she's going to make mistakes. Don't focus on the mistakes. Focus on the good things. Look for good in everybody and everything. Be a good finder, not a fault finder. Be big enough to admit your faults. Apologize. In Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ forgave you." We need to learn to be forgiving. We need to learn to apologize. Let me say this. When's the last time you apologized for anything? There are some husbands and there are some wives that the word "I apologize" is not in their vocabulary. They just don't think they ever do anything wrong to apologize for. But we need to be humble. And when we make mistakes, when we foul up, and sometimes we foul up royally, we need to come and say, "Honey, I am so sorry. I have really fouled up. Please forgive me." Some seem incapable of saying, "I am wrong. I am sorry. I apologize." We need to talk about, I hear couples sometimes say, "My checking account. He's got his checking account, I got mine. That's his money and this is my money." You want to have a happy home, you listen to this old preacher here. It needs to become our checkbook. It needs to become our money. It needs to become our home. It needs to become our children. You see, we are to be compatible. We are to be united. Now, let me define some areas of responsibility. It took Dixie, and she didn't know I was going to put this in here, but it took Dixie a while to properly explain to me that I am the garbage man at our house. Now, it took a little while to do that, and I'm going to share with you this morning, as I was getting ready to come here, I went down the hallway out where the back goes out to the back, and there it was. A bag of garbage. This woman that I love so dearly will not take out the garbage. When we got married, she explained to me in no uncertain terms, "You are the garbage man." And I really believe, sometimes I get it out of the bag, out of the garbage. Other times she'll get it out, tie it off, and she puts it at the door. Sweetheart, I believe if I didn't take it out, they would just pile up until I couldn't even get out the door. Because why? That's my responsibility. I'm the outside man. She's the inside lady. She does the inside. I do the outside. And sometimes I do the inside outside to help her out. But we've got our duties and responsibilities somewhat clearly defined. We've been hanging together for 52 years. And I want to tell you boys something, you younger men. You want to have a happy marriage? The faster you learn this lesson, the better off you're going to be. You learn to smile and say, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." And things will go well for you. But, you know, Dixie and I grew up together. We married when we were teenagers. And we had to sort out these things. Everybody does in their marital relationship. Those duties and responsibilities, they will vary. Now, for instance, I said I was an outside man. Some of you women may love to mow grass. I've met women like that. They say, "I love to cut the grass. My husband, he never cuts any grass. I cut all the grass. I do all the firework, all that." That's fine. That's wonderful. If you like that, good. Designate that as your responsibility. Give the husband other responsibilities and duties. But we, in order to have a happy home, we've got to sort out these duties and responsibilities. Then, listen to me. If you want a happy marriage, recognize moods for what they are. Moods. Don't overreact. Everyone had... Brother, can I ask? I'm going to put you on the spot. You ever had a bad day? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You ever had a good day? Oh, yeah. You've had bad days. You've had good days. Everybody here has. We all do, don't we? Bad days, good days. Some days you get up and you go to breakfast. You come in there like this. It's not... You're not in a good mood. when you walk in like this, you know. We sometimes have difficulties in our marital relationships because we don't recognize a mood. You can't be always up, and certainly you don't always want to be down. So men, particularly men, recognize your wife a mood as being a mood. We all need to realize that we have stresses in our lives. And stress places pressure on individuals. Husbands and wives, they will react differently to the daily occurrences of life. The male will respond one way and the female another. The male might say, concerning us, he might go, huh. The wife goes, ah! Ah! The husband says, you know, nothing. We're wired differently. Now, ladies, sometimes the husband might go, ah! You know, he might do it. It depends on what it is. We have stresses and pressures that we react to differently. And sometimes our home life can be adversely affected. And yes, even lead to divorce. Because we don't recognize moods for being moods. Why? As I said, we're wired differently. One is male and one is female. Open your eyes and do not overreact. Learn to say, I love you. Learn to say, I love you. The clod would say like this, well, I told her I loved her when we married, and I told her I'd let her know if I ever changed my mind. Hey guys, listen up. It doesn't work that way. The wife, the female, she has to hear this way more than the male. I love you. And if you don't say it to your wife enough, she'll do this. She'll pooch her lip out. She won't be happy. She'll say, you never say you love me. Do you love me?
Yeah, I love you.
I told you I loved you back when we got married. It doesn't work that way. They got to hear, I love you, I love you, I love you. Guys, you just better wise up. You want to have a happy home, learn to say I love you. Children are robbed when mother and daddy do not say to their children, I love you. I pray that my children, my Allison and Tanya and John, I pray that they've heard that strongly. I love you. I love you. We love you. We're proud of you. Love is expressed also by acts of kindness. It's not enough to say, I love you. You got to do little deeds of kindness. Load the dishwasher for her. Don't say a word. Just go load the dishwasher.
Well, that's woman's work. That's work for women. I'm not going to load no dishwasher.
Well, you're not going to be happy probably in your marriage. You're not going to make your mate happy. Go load the dishwasher for her. Fold up some clothes. Do some stuff that she normally does. And make her happy. Love is expressed by acts of kindness. You don't even have to say a word. Go fix her a cup of coffee. She's always bringing you coffee. Go fix her a cup of coffee and sit down and say, here, I'll fix you a cup of coffee. She'll go, all right, what have you done? what are you up to now? It shouldn't be that way. We need to do things of kindness. Let me tell you a story. I was over in Georgia. Let me see if I can back up here. I was over in Georgia, and I was preaching a gospel meeting like this. And boy, I was into it, and I said, women, I said, if these men, if your husband, I said, men, I want you to go home between now and the service tomorrow night, and I want you to do something for your wife special. I want you to do something special. And I said, ladies, I said, if he doesn't do something special, I said, you tell me tomorrow night, and I said, I promise you I'll preach this sermon again. I'll run it right back over again because they didn't get it. I said, so you men go home and do something special for your wife. Well, I was down at the front, and this particular auditorium kind of had an aisle that kind of went up. I was standing there waiting for the service to begin, and I heard this sister say, oh, Brother Demar! I said, Everybody in the auditorium kind of like this. She was really vocal. She came running down the aisle. She said, "Oh, Brother DeMar, Brother DeMar, I'm so excited." And I said, "Sister?" I said, "What is it?" She said, "Oh, Brother DeMar." She said, "You don't know what my husband did for me." I said, "What did he do?" I said, "Boy, great, great." I said, "What did he do?" She said, "Oh, Brother DeMar." She was just like that. She said, "Oh, Brother DeMar, he gave me a Tootsie Roll." I went, like that. I said, "A what?" She said, "Oh, Brother DeMar, I love Tootsie Rolls." Hey, guys, wise up. Sometime it only takes a Tootsie Roll. Just a Tootsie Roll. We need to do things to let her know that she is loved. What I'm saying, too, is that the little things in a marriage become the big things. Defining the home is hard. It's like trying to define love. It has been said it takes a heap of living in a house to make it a home. America is a great nation today, not because of great men, not because of military might, not because of our great wealth, our fine buildings. America is a great nation this morning because of God-fearing homes. The home is the backbone of society. There's the real capital. There's the real strength of America. It's been said, man away from home, the sweetest words ever heard was home, sweet home. The strength of our nation is directly connected to the strength of our families and the makeup of this great nation. No culture, write this down in your heart, no culture can last long that does not have strong homes. We need strong homes. Divorce is just another word for broken home. Where divorce occurs, children have little chance to live normal lives. No child born asks to be born. They have a right to be loved and cared for. And yet many times we bring children in this world and we do not do right by them. Mothers, fathers, I want you to listen. Mother, that daughter will walk in your footsteps. Now, there are going to be exceptions but in most cases, that girl's going to grow up and she's going to be just like her mother. Father, I want you to listen to me. That son of yours, he's going to be just like you. I'm reminded here, I went too far there. I'm reminded of the daughter who came to her mother. And she said, "Mother," she said, she had gotten out on her own and she had her own home. And she came and she said, "Mother, I want to ask you, why is it that in our family, you take a ham and you cut the end off and set it over here and don't cook the end? Why do you do that?" Her mother looked at her and said, "Well, sweetheart, I really don't know. Your grandmother always did that. Call your granny and see what she says." So she calls and she says, "Granny," she said, "I want to ask you a question." She said, "Why is it in our family that we cut the end of the ham off and don't cook it?" So her grandmother said, "Well, sweetheart," she said, "when we got married, we had a wedding shower, and they gave me a little old bitty roaster, and my hams never would fit in, and I always cut the end off and cooked it." Hey, three generations, all because this daughter was watching what her mother did. She cut the end of her ham off because her mother cut the end off. She didn't ask any questions. It was just the thing that was to be done. So we need to understand, your children are watching you like a hawk. Mothers, that girl's going to grow up and she's going to be just like you. And you need to realize that you have a responsibility to guide that child, to lead that child in the right way. Fathers, let me say something to you boys before I leave this. If some of you boys out here in this audience are thinking about marrying a girl, maybe you've gotten to that stage where you're dating this girl and you're thinking about marrying her, listen to me carefully. Listen very carefully. You better take a long, long, long look at her mother, because in just a few years, she's going to be just like her. And fellas, in just a few years, she's going to even start looking like her mother. Now, the same is true with these boys. Dad, your son is going to be just like you. The father, I'm reminded of a commercial that was being put on the television. This was years ago. And the commercial, I get on the right track here. The commercial was that it showed a father and a son. They were out in nature. They were walking along the pathway. And so the father sees a pine cone there. And the father says like this. And he kicks the pine cone. Little old boy looked at his dad. He ran up to the pine cone. He looked at his dad. He said, just like his dad, he kicked the pine cone. His dad shook his head like they had a hair. They walked on along. They got down near a lake. The father walked down to the edge of the lake, and he picked up a stone, a pebble, and he threw it out across the lake, and it went, skipped out across the water. The little boy smiled. He got him a stone. He looked at his daddy with pride. He threw that stone. It said, skip, 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 right across the water. His daddy said like this, shook his head, took him on, they studied. They went on down the trail. And then the father sits down under a large oak tree. And when he sat down under the tree, he did like this and put his hands behind his head. Little boy looked at his daddy admiringly. He sat down like his daddy. Did like his daddy, he put his hands behind his head. And then the commercial ended as the cameras zoomed in, as the father reached into his pocket and pulled out a pack of cigarettes. And the commercial showed the father lighting up, and the camera zoomed in, the little boy's going like this, so admiringly. Fathers, you listen to me. That boy's going to grow up, and in most cases, he's going to be just like you. If you curse, he's going to curse. If you're mean, he's going to be mean. If you smoke, he's going to smoke. If you drink, he's going to drink. If you use drugs, he'll probably use drugs. Now, in some cases, there are exceptions, no doubt about it. Sometimes children rise up above. But in most cases, that son or that daughter is going to be just like her mother or just like his daddy. Oh, we have a tremendous responsibility in bringing these children and helping them to go to heaven. Dad, what are you doing to help your son go to heaven when he dies? What are you doing in the way of example to help that child know which way to go? I want to bring this lesson to a close. The home is faced with many challenges today. But I want you to know that communication, that's one of the major breakdowns. It's not sexual immorality. That was 17th on our list in the first session. Number 17 on the list of breakups. Selfishness. The home is faced with so many challenges. Mothers and fathers, will you take your child to heaven, the home of the soul? As I said, it's one thing for a man and woman to get married. Live for the devil. Die and go to hell. But it's another thing to get married and bring these little ones into that relationship, into that home, and then not do right by them. We need to do the things that will help our children, our sons and our daughters, go to heaven. Every parent needs to make a decision. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to lead my child to heaven, the home of the soul. Everybody here today, this morning, needs to make a decision. I'm not going to be a clod. I'm not going to be a Claudette. I'm going to try to bring love and understanding and appreciation and kindness and compassion and mercy and forgiveness into my home. Because you see, God's Word teaches you want to have a happy home. Surely everybody wants to have a happy home. And chances are, if you're sitting here and you say, "My brother DeMar, right now my home is not happy," it's probably not happy because you're not obeying the divine principles. As I said in the first session, application is the word. Let's do the things that are right and good. Let's do the things that will help us to go to heaven, the home of the soul. We need to pray maybe as we close this and as I extend an invitation, God, help us. Maybe you need to say in your heart, "Oh God, help me. I really, as I look back on my life, I have failed to be the kind of husband that I should have been. As I look back on my life, I have failed to be the kind of wife I should be." Maybe there's some young people here that say, "I have not been the kind of Christian young person I should be. I've not been the son or the daughter that I should be." Listen, here again, there was a time when hearts were easily touched with the gospel of Christ. Back when I started out preaching as a young man, people used to come down the aisles asking for forgiveness, wanting to be baptized, and saying, "Oh God, have mercy on me. I've sinned. I want to be forgiven. May the blood of Christ wash me and cleanse me." But today we've become somewhat enamored and hardened. Somebody said, "Well, what would anybody think of me if I come down and say, I haven't been the kind of person I ought to be? What will they think of me?" That doesn't matter what they think. What is important is what does God think? In my prayer, I prayed about this before this day arrived. I said, "Oh God, help me. Help me to be true to your word. Help me to teach this audience on Sunday, one man, one woman, male, female, not male and male, one man, one woman, one lifetime, one exception and one exception only." And in the church, many elderships across our brotherhood, they'll just accept people with all kinds of marriages. The Bible does not teach that. We need to get back to the Word of God. And I haven't said this to make anybody angry. If I know my heart, I preach this sermon out of love. But I want to exhort you. That's what gospel preaching is all about. I am a minister of reconciliation. The message of God from the Holy Bible is this: you can be reconciled to God, not doing it your way, but doing it His way. And so if you've got a problem in your marriage, maybe your wife is thinking in her mind right now, "Oh God, help him to respond today. Help him to do what's right." Maybe the husband's saying, "Oh God, help my wife to do what's right today. Help her to respond and repent. Let's get our marriage back." Maybe there's a young person here that's saying, "I haven't been the kind of son or daughter I need to be." You need to respond. Some maybe need to be baptized into Christ for they have their sins washed away. Others just need to come home and say, "I'm sorry." Can you apologize? Some people can't apologize. They can't say, "I'm sorry." We need to be able to say that to God. We're human beings. We're flawed. We make mistakes. And there are times. The Bible says, "Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much." Maybe this morning you need the prayers of the church so that your life and your home life can be what it ought to be. We are challenged in our home life, in our family life. Will you rise up and meet that challenge today? Do you need to respond while together we stand and while we sing?